Fed is your official headquarters for Championship Week.
Presented by Columbus State Community College and Maloney and Novotny.
Your home of champions, the Fed. I bet you did, Rothman. I bet you did. This is Carpenter and Rothman.
Oh, Buckeyes feeling good about themselves now, man. Going to the Big Ten title game against Wisconsin, a team that you cracked in the second half. Wisconsin certainly have kind of a nothing-to-lose attitude when they get to Indy, but that's not usually enough when you're taking on Ohio State. He's Austin Ward, who covers Ohio State for LettermanRow.com, and he's with us on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. A-Dub in the house. Good to have you, my man.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so did it live up to your expectation better? I mean, what did you think of the game? And I wasn't sure what your prediction on it was, but how did your prediction turn out to the result? How close to it?
Yeah, I picked Ohio State to win by 32, so I didn't miss by much there.
Wow.
I think the talent was always going to win out. And it's crazy to me, like, having covered it now for close to a decade, that's like, you always hear about the rivalry games and they're close, and you feel kind of weird picking such a wide score. But that, I think the talent gap has never been wider, and I didn't really feel that bad picking a score that wide. I did think Michigan was going to be held to 10 points. So on that end, take Sean Wade out of that. And, you know, the way Michigan actually had some stuff going early offensively and taking Chase Young and limiting him a little bit, limiting his impact, at least on the stat sheet. They scored a little bit more, so Ryan Day had to pour it on to get back to the close to the 32-point margin that I had out there. But it's just, you know, on the field, I get that everyone in Columbus, you know, I've lived here long enough to know that the importance of the game is never going to change. But in terms of the on-field matchup, it's just not even. It doesn't have a rivalry feel. And Michigan was taken out of that game so quickly, it's like they knew once Ohio State got rolling, okay, well, that's it. They even had a couple chances to throw punches, and it still didn't work.
You know, Austin, you were up there at the game. We're talking to Austin Ward, covering OSU football for Letterman Row on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And Austin, you're up there at the game. When you watch the players, you're watching the speed. You see it on TV, yeah. And like, Ohio State looks better. You know, they've recruited a little better, but my contention is they've really developed the players a lot better with Mickey Marotti and that staff. Like, is there a significant difference when you see in the development of Ohio State and what the players look like on the field?
Yeah, I mean, Michigan is almost as close as you can get in terms of the recruiting rankings. You know, Penn State's recruited well. Those are the only three teams that are really national championship contenders in my mind in the Big Ten, Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. But you watch the Michigan players, and this happened with Rashawn Gary. It happened with Jabril Peppers. They really just don't get any better there, and they leave about the same way that they arrived. That doesn't happen at Ohio State. You look at a perfect example with guys like Jayshon Cornell or Devon Hamilton. I mean, they weren't ready for a while, but they got really good coaching from the best defensive line coach in America, and now suddenly they're looking like, you know, Devon Hamilton should be an All-American. If I get a cast a vote for that, I would say that he should be. Jayshon Cornell has got to be All-10 list. And you could go down almost every position and find guys that develop. Brandon Bowen, I don't think anyone thought that he would be a multi-year starter the way he's been at right tackle, playing at the level he's been when he arrived. But even though he had solid recruiting rankings, he's elevated his game beyond that. You just watch Michigan on the field, and they just don't have it. And there's no reason for that. I think that Penn State has actually done a much better job of that over the last few years. And I'm usually not one to ever give James Franklin credit because he mangles so many situations, and his personality rubs me the wrong way. But he's actually got it figured out that he knows the kind of guys it's going to take to beat Ohio State and compete with them year in and year out. And I don't think that Michigan does. And it's crazy to say that, but I've covered eight in a row of these since I got up here and started living and working in Columbus. So I've never seen it happen in person that Michigan can win the rivalry. And at this point, I don't know how they're ever going to do it.
No, they have to win it a different way, and it's almost like they were trying to fight fire with fire against Ohio State. Yeah. And to do that, you better be able to recruit the ammunition in waves like Ohio State has done. Ohio State, as much as we like to build a fence around Ohio, and it's very key to do that, You look at a lot of their guys from Texas, from Georgia, from Maryland, from California, from Florida. Like, they're loaded with guys from the different states. I think Michigan, it's weird. Yes, they need a quarterback to compete. You can't win too many games being one-dimensional. But some of the games where Michigan would stay with Ohio State, it's because they could play what we used to call Big Ten football. Big Ten football used to be line it up with as big, strong guys as you can, get a dynamic running back like Wisconsin, and try to win some titles that way. Get a Ron Dane. Get somebody, some guys that Iowa used to have until they turned into tight end U as well, and then they could pull an upset that way. But I think Michigan, I'm telling you what, Austin, I think they tried to fight fire with fire because they got to a point where they can't win it the other way either. And it's, you know what I mean?
Well, and you watch, I think you're absolutely right. And I think you watch what happened. I mean, that's one reason why Wisconsin in this game on some competitive games, what happened in October notwithstanding, if you're going to try and beat Ohio State, and I don't think that this is a great winning formula either, but you need to be able to control some of the clock, keep their offense on the sideline. You're going to have to get a turnover or two or three fumbles the way it happened against Penn State a couple weeks ago. And you have to keep them on the sideline. That's your best shot. I've heard a lot of people say you need to be able to trade punches and throw the football. Well, Michigan actually did that a lot better than a lot of other teams could have hoped for. And if you'd have previewed that first half and said, this is the Shea Patterson that's going to be on the field, you'd have thought, okay, well, Chase Young doesn't have a sack and Shea Patterson is completing some of those passes. Ohio State might be in trouble. But if you're going to play a full game against them, at some point the talent's going to win out. Remember 2 years ago when Michigan got that early lead, there still wasn't this sense of panic for Ohio State because they knew that the offense at some point was going to click and get them back into a game because they can score in such a hurry. You do not want to give Justin Fields and J.K. Dobbins and those wide receivers multiple chances to go out on the field. And if you have a couple incompletions and then a three and out, you're about to see a landslide coming at you. So I don't know what the answer is for Michigan. I think that Jim Harbaugh has just about tapped out to what he can do the way he's done it for the last 5 years. And at some point, if you're Michigan, you have to decide if you're okay being that program, that 9 and 10 wins are okay, and you're not ever going to beat Ohio State, and you don't care. Because otherwise you're paying $10 million a year to get destroyed in the game that you say is the most important. Like, if that happened at Ohio State anymore, you're not going to coach for 5 years anymore. You're not going to have a 2-10-1 record anymore. You're not going to get that time. Ohio State will not allow it. And so if Michigan is okay with this, then the result in the end of November is not ever going to change.
Austin Ward from Letterman Row, covering Ohio State football here on Carpenter and Rothman. Real quick before we let you go, you mentioned the absence of Sean Wade. Now, I can test, if he played, I don't know if Michigan gets more than 13 points. I mean, what are your thoughts if Sean Wade would have been in the game? What do you think the score would have looked like?
I think it really caught Ohio State a little flat-footed. He went through pregame, tried to give it a go, and I think it changed things in the first quarter and first half. The way they responded in the second half, Amir Reap and Seven Banks and Cameron Brown, those guys really played well. But I think you saw it was 4 for 23, I believe, for Shea Patterson after 14 for 17 start. Maybe give or take a throw on either end. But I think they came out and caught, they wanted to be a little bit more conservative, ease those guys into the mix. Whereas if you have Sean Wade, you know exactly what you're going to get from those three, NFL corners in the secondary. And you can really inflict more pressure and then turn those big guys loose if you want. And I think they're at some point when Ohio State adjusted Jeff Hafley and Greg Madison, they're like, okay, well, if we don't start blitzing, if we don't start being more aggressive and acting as if Sean Wade is out there, then this game could get even hairier than it was early on. So I think it's a huge deal. Like the most spotlight that Sean Wade has got this year, because he's not the superstar on that defense, even though he could be a first or second round pick if he comes out after this year. But when you took him off of the field, I think that's when people started recognizing how big of an impact this guy has. He's not Jeff Okuda. He's not Chase Young. Those guys are going to get a lot more of the spotlight. They always will. But Sean Wade's importance, I think, was really driven home when he wasn't out there. And we talked to Ryan Day yesterday. He said that Wade would be ready to roll, quote unquote, in his teleconference on Sunday. So that would be a big one. I mean, if Ohio State is going to maximize its potential defensively, Sean Wade has to be part of that.
Austin Ward with us. We'll see you in Indy, my friend. Thanks very much.
All right. See you guys there.